You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful.
Happy to be the first mayor to host that trophy. I will say, I was the first commissioner to host the to hoist the Southern League Hockey Trophy when they won, and the first mayor to be able to hoist up a NCAA football national championship. So we're very proud of the things we've been able to accomplish.
Host, hoist, pool, pond, be good for you. Mayor Grover Robinson on Monday talking about the trophy for the Wahoos winning their championship and him being the first mayor to hoist the trophy for the Argos, for the Wahoos, and as commissioner for the Ice Flyers. So very cool. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. But you don't think it's because of you, though, right?
Hey, I don't know. It's only superstitious if it doesn't work. That's all I'm
that's true. Yeah, you know, that's right. So does that mean that you're gonna stay in office longer so that we can win more championships? I heard that. That's what you just said, right?
Listen. It was so fun this past year when the Ice Flyers won it again. I went with Robert. They invited me, and I was up there. And Robert been talking. I said, well, when I was commissioner, we used to win these like every other year. I don't know what's going on with Robert, but I'm glad he finally got one.
That's good. Robert Bender, Commissioner Bender, by the way. So we got a bunch of things I wanted to talk to you about coming up, but I have a question from a listener that I don't know the answer to. You know, the Palafox, you were just kind of talking about getting all the repairs done on Palafox, Community Maritime Park getting the repairs done. But on Palafox, I think it's still in process. You correct me if it's wrong. But he was asking, when is the fountain going to be working? Why isn't the fountain working?
Correct. The fountain and the other water, all the water things that were there at Plaza de Luna. Somehow or another, this is just more things that we've done and reasons why I feel like, I'm very happy with the things we've been able to accomplish. Because we're going to be so much better off. The first part, when we put those in, I don't know for what reason, but they decided to put all the equipment underground, which seems like maybe a good place, except for when you have saltwater intrusion every time you have a storm. So it gets in there, it destroys the equipment, saltwater and equipment you need for pumps and everything else and all that stuff just doesn't mix. So it continues to get destroyed. So this latest one with Sally, we said we've kind of had enough of trying to spend to fix this up. So when you get to see the new Plaza de Luna, you're going to see there's a new building next to what was the Chat and Chew. That is now a pump house room. All the equipment now will be above the level at which we've seen in Ivan and Sally's, so that pump equipment will not get destroyed by the storm. And then we'll just have to clean out the fountains, and then we can get them back running again. But the pump equipment will not have to be replaced for those fountains again. Very proud of some of the work we've been able to do to mitigate and make sure we're much more storm resistant as we move forward.
Okay, so the fountain actually will be working again sometime soon when that all gets completed, or?
When it all gets completed, it will be working. And the good news is it should not be impacted by future storms because we've raised it and we have it in a separate facility.
Is that the same issue at all with the splash pad, or is that a separate system?
Correct.
Me for not knowing.
Same issue. Both of those, all those water features together are all connected to the same pump house.
Okay, so this should prevent some of those problems that we've had off and on with the splash pad as well. Sort of all of that should be solved in one reconstruction. Is that the idea?
That's the goal, exactly. Again, every time the salt water comes up over the pier, we've lost those things because they were underwater and with salt water, they just got ruined with electricity and everything else there. It was just shot. So we had to. This is not the first time we've done this, but this is why we said we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to build something new. We're going to be better, and we're going to be better prepared for the storm. So, you know, every time we've done something, we've tried to be better prepared than we were the last time.
You know, one of the ideas that was proposed during the transition team meeting, and I know you're not involved in those because it's transition for another mayor coming in, but still, I thought it was an interesting idea, the observation that we've got these community centers, and maybe you know, the city shouldn't be providing daycare, but the cost of daycare is largely tied to the location that you provide it at. What if people could use those to provide daycare somehow and defray that cost so that you had lower cost daycare provided to the end users? I mean, maybe they already do some stuff like this. I thought it was an interesting proposal. Is that even feasible?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. I think we do some of that with what I think is more children's programming, sports and academic programming we do at day center. If you're talking about during the work day,
right?
You certainly could contract with a group. It's just it's challenging. Sometimes that's just not as easy. And other governments have done it, and there's a reason people don't do it now. It's just sometimes it can be difficult. Things happen that you can't control. It's your contractor. So it's a noble idea. I think in the practice and the application, there are things which you probably haven't thought about. What comes in? What happens if look, we've dealt with this in some ways. With the blowback we had, it wasn't us running the place where the homeless were, but people were upset because they didn't get handled the right way or something else. This can happen with children in child care, and
sure,
you do that with children, and it's going to be a significant. It's noble cause, but the minute this happens, if it can happen with homeless adults, it can definitely happen with children. So I think it's you gotta watch what you're doing, because you'll sub that out. It's totally possible you could do it, but understand what the potential risks that are out there, because you can't control what happens with people and interactions. And we're certainly working with this with REAP, and I think we'll move through things. But you're certainly subject to that, and I think when it happens with children, it's much different than adults.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I get that. I get the liability risk in terms of, you know, bad behavior or, you know, things that go wrong. It seemed like the proposal was, hey, we've got community centers which are highly underutilized during the school day because the kids are in school, just like the playgrounds are highly underutilized when school's not in session. And we make these rules and we build fences to keep people off the playground, which I hate out of liability concerns. Could we not also find a way to use that space for a productive capacity for kids?
You totally could, Andrew. You totally could. But all I'm saying is, go back to, I mean, this is the part I've said. I've been like, hey, we immediately go out there. We look at the thing dealing with the SOS camp, but you see what happens. It's front page for weeks, and that's just what you're dealing with.
Yeah, and I get that. I get that too. The perception that the city would be responsible or running it or something like that because it's on city property. I understand that concern.
It's not on city property. We're not running it in any way. We gave money to it, and
right,
therefore it happened.
Oh, so, I meant the community centers. I'm sorry. But, yeah, no, what you're saying with the SOS camp, I get that too.
Yeah.
You have a meeting coming up. You have two, actually, October 18th and October 20th at the Fricker Center, one, and at the Tryon Branch Library, two, in the evening. This is to get people's input on developing an active transportation plan. What is the goal of these meetings?
I think it's to go out and get the public's idea for the city, and the city is much more looking at how we become truly multimodal. How do we create opportunities to be much more pedestrian and bike friendly in what's going on? They're looking for your input and what we can do. It certainly will be cars will be a part of that as well, but it's not just a car. It's not just a car survey. So, I mean, they're going to be looking for everything you have to do and begin to shape some of the things that they want to do going forward. I think it was great we were able to get the grant to make it happen and do these things. I think it'll give us a much better plan as to where we can put our money to work as we want to make infrastructure improvements, certainly as bike and pedestrian. So I think it should help us a long way. And also we'll look at things that we're doing, and it's amazing how with once Bird is gone that scooters don't seem to be the same problem we were having, but we're able to still have scooters and be functioning without all the other gnashing the teeth and everything else going on. So you can do these things. All these things will probably be discussed in the transportation plan, and they'll it just give you the opportunity to give your input so you can shape it.
No, that's a good point. You know, you're right. You know, silence sometimes doesn't get the attention, but I don't hear the same level of complaint now that we're VO-only sit-down scooters and not the bird stand-up-and-ride ones. Next week, we're going to honor Julian Olson, the first-ever Parks and Recreation Director for the city of Pensacola. My goodness, it sounds like this guy did a lot 75 or so years ago.
So, yes, a lot of the things we have in the parks that we have, I think after public safety, Parks and Rec is probably the second reason people are willing to live in the city and pay additional higher taxes is what they get. And certainly that came to us from the Parks and Rec board to recognize this individual. And so we are doing that at Bayview Park, and we should be having an unveiling. It's one of the things that went on during COVID and in discussion. So happy to recognize what he did to start our Pensacola Parks and Rec.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And I was a little bit critical of the honoring of the former city council members for 12 years of service. I said at the time yesterday, I wish we'd honor the longtime employees or employees who made a huge difference in terms of getting something done. And here we have, this is going to be happening next week. So perfect. That's exactly the kind of thing I love to see. You know, people who do the work get celebrated. Mayor Grover Robinson, always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Happy to do so. And again, just remember, you want some championships, we've been able to hoist them up. So those are things we've been able to do.
But to be clear, you're not trying to stay in office and get more wins, though, right?
I'm not looking to stay in office. I'm just simply saying
okay.
there's a correlation between the championships.